Welcome to the first Bristol Bay Fisheries Report of the season. It's Monday, June 21st. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. On our news team this summer, Stephanie Malterich and Brian Venwall will be covering the west side. Mackenzie Mancuso is our east side reporter. Tyler Thompson and I will be holding down the fort for everything else. We're also bringing you news in the mornings and at noon every weekday. We're glad to have all of you in the Bay and with us on the airwaves this evening and throughout the summer.
You better hold on when I'm fishing. It's going to be crazy on board.
Coming up tonight, Peter Pan Seafoods made a surprise announcement over the weekend.
I'm going to announce our 2021 Bristol Bay sockeye salmon base price. We will be paying $1.10 this year.
We take a look at what that means for the fleet, the company, and other processors. The Port Muller test fishery shows a big push of fish might be headed to the Nooshigak district, but managers are holding off on commercial openers because of extremely low king salmon returns.
King numbers are very low. We're half of what we were last year and looking to be one of the worst king runs ever. It's terrible.
The district won't open commercial fishing until 100,000 sockeye escape up the Wood River. So far, those numbers have been slow. There has been a lot of confusion about commercial boat registration this year.
They said they had appointments every 15 minutes, and there was people standing in line outside, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know. But they didn't really tell me one way or the other whether they really actually knew if it was required or not.
Now, that requirement has been put on pause. Those conversations and more on this season's very first Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's start with a look at the numbers. Bristol Bay's total run is at 282,000. Over on the west side, the total escapement number for sockeye in the Nooshigak district is at 96,700. The Nooshigak River escapement is now over 83,500 sockeye. The Chinook run is at almost 5,000. On Friday, the Nooshigak River sonar counted just over 5,500 sockeye and about 160 kings. On Saturday, the sonar counted 14,700 sockeye and about 120 kings. And Sunday brought around 4,800 sockeye and nearly 600 Chinook. Some big Port Muller catches and genetic samples indicate that the Nooshigak district might see a push of fish in the next few days. We'll get to those numbers in just a minute. Management biologist Tim Sands said that while he knows everyone is excited about the numbers, fishermen in the Nooshigak district won't be able to fish until 100,000 sockeye escape up the Wood due to poor king escapement up the Nooshigak. And right now, Wood River escapement is relatively slow. The current total for the Wood River is just over 13,700. As of 6 a.m. today, nearly 600 fish passed the tower. Looking back at the weekend numbers, on Friday, the tower crew counted nearly 4,900 fish. On Saturday, just under 3,200 fish swam through. And on Sunday, over 1,700 more were counted. Over to the east side now. Igigik is the only fleet to harvest fish so far. Yesterday's catch was 53,000 fish for a total of 135,500. Igigik's tower began counting on Thursday. The total run there is a little under 50,000. On Thursday, over 3,600 fish swam up the river. Friday brought in over 7,600, and Saturday's escapement was nearly 8,700. Sunday saw the largest push there so far, as over 29,400 fish swam past the tower. The Naknek River Tower began counting on Saturday with an initial report of just over 230 fish. It counted 240 fish Sunday for a total of 474 fish. Over at the Chignik Weir, the count for Saturday was over 6,700 sockeye, bringing the total for 2021 so far to nearly 52,000 salmon. Chignik's escapement this season is about the same as in 2019 at this time of the year, and it's higher than this time last year and in 2018 when Chignik's early run was at around 14,000 fish. Last year was the lowest sockeye run on record for the Chignik River. Area M's fleet caught 337,400 sockeye yesterday. Its total sockeye harvest is 2.3 million. The Chinook harvest was 87 yesterday for Area M for a season total of 1,700, and the pink harvest was 315,600 for a total of 2.2 million. Now over to the Port Muller test fishery. The crews on the Pandalus and Ocean Cat were able to fish stations 6 through 22 on Sunday. Fisheries scientist Scott Rayborn says the catches suggest strong runs for the Nooshigak district sometime between June 22nd and the 26th. That's assuming a 7-day journey between the test fishery and the district. Station 2 and 4 caught no fish. Station 6 caught 42 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 15 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 104. Station 8 had a big day. It caught 79 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 64 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 252. Station 10 caught 44 in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 50 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 201. This follows a massive catch on Saturday of 222 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 44 in the 5 1/8. The catch index that day was 389. Station 12 caught 38 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 2 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 86. Station 14 caught 3 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 7 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 21. Station 16 caught 2 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 1 in the 5 1/8. The catch index there is 8. Station 18 caught 7 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 9 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 34. Station 20 caught no fish in either mesh size. Station 22 caught 1 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 1 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 4. Port Muller's second stock composition estimate came in today. The fish were sampled on June 17th and 18th. It showed 59% of the fish sampled were heading to the Nooshigak District, 41% headed to the Nooshigak River. The first estimate was based on fish sampled from June 14th through the 16th. That first estimate showed 46% of the run headed to the Nooshigak. Igigik is up by 7 percentage points from the first stock composition estimate. Almost 28% of the fish sampled were going to Igigik. 16% of the fish sampled is headed to the Wood River. A little over 4% of the fish are headed to the Alagnak. Just under 4% are going to the Naknek. 2% to the North Peninsula. 1.5% for the Ugashik. 1% each to Togiak, the Igushik, and the Kwijak. You can sign up to get Port Muller updates sent directly to your email. You can also get updates via text message to your mobile phone, inReach, or satellite phone, or cell phone is another way of saying mobile phone. Text Port Muller Test Fishery to 833-612-1053 for email updates. Shoot a message to michael@bbsri.org with the subject heading, "Please add me to the PMTF email list." We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with you right here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG comes from Crowley, proudly fueling business and industry across Alaska, including Bristol Bay Fisheries, with a full range of commercial marine fuels and on and offshore fueling. Details at crowley.com/Bristol Bay.
Thanks for staying with us tonight. Again, catch this short show dedicated to the Bristol Bay fishery every weekday night at 6 with a replay at 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. We'll bring you the numbers at 6 p.m. on the weekends. We really want to know what you think and what's happening where you're at, so do give us a shout out too. You can give us a call at 842-2200 or email fish@kdlg.org. Peter Pan Seafoods shook up the fishing world this weekend when it announced its base price for this summer's Bristol Bay sockeye. It's the first time in over 2 decades that a processor has told its fishermen what they would make before the season started. I reported on the fleet's enthusiastic reception and the reasons behind the company's unusual move. Fishermen gathered at the PAF boatyard in Dillingham on Saturday evening. Peter Pan Seafoods had invited them there for a surprise announcement. Travis Roenfance, the company's Bristol Bay manager, gets up on a small wooden stage to speak.
So tonight, to exceed those expectations and show you how dedicated they are to creating new things and moving in a new direction, I'm going to announce our 2021 Bristol Bay sockeye salmon base price. We will be paying $1.10 this year. And hey.
One man walked to the stage to shake his hand.
Serious. Thank you.
That's $1.10 for every pound of sockeye caught in Bristol Bay. It's the first time in at least 25 years that a Bristol Bay processor has announced its base price this early in the year, Rowan Fance says. The move has to do with Peter Pan's new ownership.
Peter Pan is a new company this year, and they're really remodeling how they're thinking about things, more vertically integrated, and trying to get a better quality product to the market.
Fishermen in the crowd cheered the announcement. The base price is significantly higher than last year's price of 70 cents, but it's still lower than the 2019 price of 135. Even so, the fact that fishermen know that price now, in June, before they get out on the water, is a big deal. Fisherman Andy Peitsch says knowing what he'll earn takes away a lot of stress.
It's way better. Everyone has a better attitude. Deckhands can kind of do the math in their heads. Skippers can do their math in their heads about what you're catching, about what you're going to make. And it, it alleviates a lot of a lot of bad feelings at the end of the season.
Peitsch has fished in the Bay for 37 years. He thinks the announcement will put pressure on other processors to follow suit. Peter Pan has also told fishermen the bonuses it will pay this year for icing, chilling, and bleeding salmon. And it plans to have a production bonus this fall. In an interview after the announcement, Rowan Fance said that setting the base price early also allows the company to better plan for the season.
We know where the base is going to be set now. We can look at the market and what we have coming up for our fresh markets and our frozen markets, and it gives us a good base starting point.
Another fisherman in the weekend crowd, Pete Cannon, said while he's excited about this year's base price, he still thinks it could be higher.
Well, the price in the market, it hasn't gone down at all for the consumer, so I think they could be a little more generous than that. But $1.10, then we have refrigeration prices on top of that and other incentives. So I do believe that it's a step in the right direction. That's for darn sure.
At the beginning of the year, Japanese seafood company Maruha Nichiro sold Peter Pan to three buyers, including the Anchorage-based investment firm McKinley Capital Management. Since then, the owners have been aggressively promoting their new vision for the company. The deal vertically integrated Peter Pan. Now, all stages of production and marketing, often operated separately, are under one owner. Bristol Bay processors all usually pay the same base price for sockeye, though bonuses vary by company. Whether Peter Pan has set a precedent for other processors remains to be seen. No other company has set its base price yet. They usually wait until the end of the season. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross. As we mentioned earlier in the program, catches from the Port Muller test fishery show a strong push of fish might be headed toward the Nooshigak District. Port Muller's genetic test results show that an estimated 59% of the fish they sampled are headed toward the district. According to the most recent samples, 41% of those fish are heading to the Nooshigak River. But until sockeye escapement up the Wood River passes 100,000, the district will remain closed, says Fish and Game Management biologist Tim Sands. That's because of the Nooshigak's extremely low king run.
King numbers are very low. We're half of what we were last year and looking to be one of the worst king runs ever. It's terrible.
So far, the Wood River's sockeye escapement is at 13,700, and Sands says escapement is still slow. Sands says that while the Nooshigak River's sockeye escapement is ahead of in-season goals, managers will remain focused on the Wood River threshold. He says waiting for Wood River escapement is just one of the measures managers may take to ensure that as many kings as possible escape upriver. Last week, he explained what conservative management might look like.
So conservative management is we're going to wait longer to have our first opening. We're going to have shorter openings for both the drift fleet and the set net fleet. We're going to try and make sure we have gear out of the water every tide. And if we can skip tides, we'll skip tides.
He says the most effective way to protect kings during the sockeye fishery is to stick to the district's management plan. Over on the east side, Igigik fishermen will be out on the water tomorrow. Set netters there have an 8-hour opener from 8:15 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. Drifters have a 6-hour opener from 8:45 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. To get some perspective from a district that's off to a slower start, I talked to our Eastside reporter, Mackenzie Mancuso, who's in Naknek. Hey, Mackenzie.
Hi, Izzy. How are you?
I'm doing great. We are looking at the situation over on the east side. It looks like Agegeik will have a commercial opening tomorrow for set netters and drifters. What are you seeing over in Naknek?
We're not really getting ready for openers yet, but people are definitely getting excited. A lot of the boatyards are starting to empty out rapidly. If it's high tide, you're going to get stuck in quote-unquote traffic down here on our one road because everyone's trying to get their boat in the water. A lot of the boatyards, like AGS, especially Alaska General Seafoods, their boatyard's almost completely empty.
Got it. A lot of traffic, a lot of back and forth over there, people getting out into the water, although the Naknek-Quijack District hasn't seen an opener yet so far this season.
No, that's correct. They haven't seen an opener yet, but the excitement is definitely revving up. I would expect an opener probably by the end of the week, hopefully. This is kind of typical of a fisherman, really, really excited, and then they go out in the water, and they break down a couple times, and then they come back, and then they're ready to fish, and the fish actually show up.
Well, I hope that people get out there with minimal breakdowns this season. Are there any other things that you're seeing around town?
I know that there's been quite a few, like, persistent fisher people who have been catching kings in their net, which is pretty exciting. Not a ton. It's mostly sockeyes, but yeah, I mean, everyone's just kind of getting ready for the fish to show up, and everyone's just busy running around. I feel like most of the people I've talked to this season are more prepared than past seasons, and everyone here is ready to go.
Mackenzie, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to talk about what you're seeing on the east side.
Yes, thank you so much.
There has been a lot of confusion around commercial boat registration this year. Many fishermen are unsure whether or not they'll still need to register their vessels with the Department of Motor Vehicles, which has been a requirement for a few years. But a new state house bill has put that on pause. As KDLG's Stephanie Malterich reports, fishermen have one less thing to cross off their list.
Eric Hesselroth has fished in Naknek for almost 50 years. When he arrived this summer from Seattle, it was unclear whether he had to register his boat, the FV Abe, at the DMV. He called the King Salmon DMV to make an appointment and get some answers.
Then they told me that I couldn't get one till the end of the month, the end of June here, which I'd be out on the fishing grounds way before that. And they said they had appointments every 15 minutes, and there was people standing in line outside, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know. But they didn't really tell me one way or the other whether they really actually knew if it was required or not.
So he called the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, who confirmed that they wouldn't enforce DMV registrations this year.
That was a relief for me because that was just one more hassle for me to try to accomplish that and then have to worry about not being able to comply and what that would mean on the water if I didn't have my sticker on the boat. And so, yeah, it was kind of a dilemma and a lot of head-scratching and confusion there amongst other fishermen that I've spoken to as well.
The pause in enforcement is a result of House Bill 28, Registration of Boats Exemption. The House Special Committee on Fisheries introduced the bill this year. It passed in the House in May and currently awaits Senate approval. Aaron Frenzel, a commander with Alaska Wildlife Troopers, confirmed that commercial fishermen can rest easy this summer.
We will refrain from issuing any citations to commercial vessels that are currently U.S. Coast Guard documented, but not DMV registered.
The Derelict Vessels Act passed in 2018 and required commercial vessels to register boats in three places: Coast Guard, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, and the DMV.
Fishermen came together and HB 28 was introduced to prevent that third additional registration requirement for them through the DMV.
The break in citations only applies to commercial fishing vessels. Recreation vessels are still required to register with the DMV. Fishermen like Hesselroth are relieved, saying the additional registration caused confusion and cost them money. House District 37 Representative Bryce Edgman supported House Bill 28.
What was made very clear to us in the legislature that this oversight in a bill that we had passed a couple of years ago was now trickling down to fishermen across the state, requiring them to get additional registration through DMVs around the state that are very challenged. And it was something that you know, essentially was sort of an easy fix that we all could agree on.
Edgman says he's confident the bill will pass the Senate next session. In Dillingham, I'm Stephanie Maltrich.
In other regulatory news, fishermen are no longer required to wear masks in the outdoor areas of commercial boats, according to the Coast Guard, which made the announcement earlier this month. Coast Guard officers will no longer enforce mask mandates on the outdoor areas of commercial vessels and at docks and ports. The requirement for people to wear masks indoors is still in effect. Heading into the season, there was a lot of vexation over the requirement for people on commercial vessels to wear masks. Senator Lisa Murkowski called on the Coast Guard to work with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to remove the requirement for fishermen. The CDC has not yet formally revised the executive order and its mandates for masks to be worn on commercial vessels. In the meantime, the Coast Guard no longer has to enforce it, although it will still check for compliance with quarantine requirements. For more information on the changes, contact the Office of Commercial Vessel Compliance at wearamask@uscg.mil.
Support for KDLG comes from Trident Seafoods, harvesting and processing wild Alaska seafood for over 40 years. More on Trident Seafoods at tridentseafoods.com.
That's just about it for tonight's show. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay tonight. There's a small craft advisory, an east wind at 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots after midnight, seas at 2 feet. On Tuesday, an east wind at 25 knots and seas at 4 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight a southeast wind at 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. And Tuesday, a southeast wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. In messages to the fleet, this is from Elaine, wishing the awesome crew of the new fishing vessel Sugar Mama a very successful season. Hope she lives up to her name. The Gunnison Valley wishes their sea-legged friends Francis and Jeremy all the best on the open water, and a special hello from Lidl the wiener dog. And from the fishing vessel Independence, Brent apologizes in advance. We'll have more features and information here in this program throughout the season. And again, if you'd like to get in touch or give some perspective, give us a call, 842-2200, or send an email to fish@kdlg.org. If you'd like to get a message out to the fleet on this show, perhaps to say hi from back home or wish them luck, send your messages to fish@kdlg.org. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.